Seen the Wilsons? Oh, there they are. They're down front. I'm so happy that we can all gather for this very special and sacred occasion. I do want to mention a few announcements going on in the life of our church. This Wednesday night is actually the final Wednesday night of the spring, and our children's choirs and our youth choir will be singing on Wednesday night. You don't want to miss that. And then following the Wednesday night program, we're going to have a vacation Bible school meeting. Any of you who would like to help us in Bible school, and we need leadership, we need teachers, we need helpers, if you could come Wednesday night immediately following the program, that would be wonderful. We're going to talk about the plans for Bible school. You see the dates in the bulletin, the last week of July. Next Sunday is going to be a special Sunday. We're going to celebrate baptism. Charlotte, you're going to be baptized next Sunday, right? Well, we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a great, great day of baptism, and then we will welcome the chorus from Lexington Senior High School, who will come and sing for us. Also, in the morning, we leave on the 19th annual Bible study field trip. We have 46 people, I believe, going on that trip. The weather in New Bern is supposed to be perfect. And we will, if you're going on the trip, just be here at 7:30 in the morning. Today, as we all know, is a very special time of celebration. Following the worship service, now pay close attention. For those of you who have these coveted tickets, and we apologize that our fellowship hall is simply not large enough for everyone who wanted to be a part. But if you have one of these tickets following the worship service, do not go downstairs. We're not supposed to be downstairs until 12:30. Now, those of you with mobility issues, you go ahead. We want you to go first. The rest of us, well, we're going to do what Baptists used to do. We're just going to stand around and fellowship and have a good time for a few minutes. And then we'll take our time and we'll go on down at 12:30 for the lunch and all of the festivities. For those of you that are not able to stay for the luncheon and the program, following the service will give you an opportunity to visit with Tommy and Sandra. Looking around the sanctuary, I see many, many special guests. A lot of you have traveled great distances to be here today. Everyone is welcome. This is God's house. We are here to worship God and to celebrate a very special and remarkable ministry. Let us worship.
O sing a new song.
O sing to God, all the earth.
Let the heavens be glad.
Let the earth rejoice.
Today we celebrate the ministry of Tommy and Sandra Wilson.
We thank God for their faithfulness, compassion, loyalty, and devotion.
God has used Tommy and Sandra to bless our church for 29 years.
We know that God will continue to bless them and bless our church as we seek to be faithful to our God.
And girls, you look so great. Isn't this wonderful to see this many girls and boys? It just feels like Christmas, doesn't it? In fact, we're even singing Christmas songs. Something special must be going on today. If you remember last week, I told you today we're going to have a top secret, okay? I'm going to cut my microphone off for just a minute to consult with my top secret boys and girls. Now we're ready. First, I'd like to invite some special guests to join us for the children's time. Would Mr. Tommy and Miss Sandra come down here for just a minute? And you just come down here and have a seat and be real relaxed. Well, yeah, y'all sit down here with the kids. Tommy's too old, but Sandra, you sit down there. You know, when you retire, you must be old, so he can't make it. Okay, boys and girls, now I'm going to save yours, but do you all have something special for Mr. Tommy and Miss Sandra? Come on up and give it to them now. This is the top secret. Come on up and just surround them. The boys and girls have made something special. They've made pictures and crafts. All right, you give them that, okay? Yeah, you give Mr. Tommy and Miss Sandra a big, big hug because we love them so much, don't we? And I'll tell you one thing, we're going to miss them at Bible school, aren't we? But I think they could come back and help us with that. I would think they'd want to, don't you? Now, for Mr. Tommy, Jenna, you and Sarah and Mary Evan and Alex, y'all come up here because you all have a very special presentation. Alex, hand me that microphone because we want everybody to hear what you all are going to say. We have a Sunday school class that has a very special presentation to make. So, Mr. Ronnie, we're using this microphone.
I heard some people saying that Tommy was going to retire.
What does retirement mean?
Well, I'm pretty sure it means that Tommy's going to play golf a lot.
So we decorated some amazing Grace golf balls. That means I once was lost, but now I'm found.
We hope you have a terrific time.
Hey, Tommy, read this one to everybody. This one.
Give me the microphone. May the ball lie down in green pastures, not in still water.
Okay, thank you. Tommy, maybe you can finally explain to me what you do with those things. I never have understood that. Well, one thing that all of the boys and girls wanted to say to Mr. Tommy and Miss Sandra is how much we love you and how much you have meant to all of the boys and girls, who a lot of them are now big, big boys and girls through the years. You have been very special to the children of this church, and we want to thank you. Don't we want to say thank you, boys and girls? We really do. Let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for this special day, for all of the girls and boys whose lives have been blessed by the ministry of Tommy and Sandra. We pray that you would bless them and always help us to remember that Jesus put children at the very front. The most important thing that he did was to bless the children, and we thank you. Amen. Okay, thank you. Tommy has a tea time at 11:30. So. Well, I didn't know what a tea time. I thought you were going to drink some tea. I think they're going to have tea time downstairs after it's all over. So, thank you, boys and girls, for helping us today. Today is a very special day. We want to welcome all of you who are here in the sanctuary of First Baptist Church. And for the many of you who are listening to this service on the radio or maybe through the internet, through our website, we are so grateful that you have blessed us with your presence here today. We have many, many guests in our sanctuary. A lot of you have traveled many miles to be here for this occasion, and every one of you is a special and an honored guest. Today is a special service in which we are honoring, recognizing, and celebrating the 29 years of Tommy and Sandra Wilson to the First Baptist Church of Lexington. Today you will hear reflections from several individuals, beginning with June Honeycutt, who was on the personnel committee when Tommy first came, and then from Vinon Williams, who was one of the early moderators in Tommy's career at our church, and then from Rod Penry, who is the moderator of our church today. But you have blessed us with your presence, and we pray that you all would feel at home as we worship together on this very special Sunday.
These are the words of the I knew I would do this. I haven't even spoken yet. These are the words from the Lord to Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As Ray said many years ago, a much, much, much younger me was a member of the personnel committee. And we were charged with the task of finding a new minister, a new associate minister for First Baptist Church, Lexington. Now, this is how I recall it. We had many resumes that came to us, but as I recall it, three contributing factors helped James Thomas Wilson, and I checked with Sandra on that, rise to the top. Number one, our committee had good guidance from Hope Coon. This was the early years of turmoil in the Southern Baptist Convention, and we needed to fill that position with someone who knew about being a Baptist like we did. Number two, Tommy was highly recommended by David Smith. David was a much-loved associate minister in the 1970s, and he had been the campus minister, I think, while Tommy was at Wingate, and he said that Tommy was someone special. And then number three, Tommy had a wife, still does, Sandra, and she was willing to be a partner in his ministry, and we have definitely seen that in action throughout the years. Like God told Jeremiah, Tommy's being a youth was not a negative. It was felt that we could all grow up together. Many of us have had the joy of watching Tommy grow from a young man to a full-fledged grown-up, and to being old enough to receive his AARP card. Now, Tommy, you are on your own when the Medicare card comes. Sandra and Tommy, the personnel committee was led by God to make a sound decision to recommend your hiring all those many, many years ago. Thank you for accepting the offer, and thanks for your years of service and ministry.
Ray, would you move back one seat? Tommy, you and Sandra come right down here in front. Boy, that sounded good. I have some personal things that I want to say about you, Tommy, and if all these other folks want to hear it too, that'll be okay too. No, get right down here in the middle.
Is that good?
That's good. All right. Let me get the serious stuff over first, and that's reading the scripture. It comes out of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Tommy said, "Here I am, send me." Well, Tommy, how does it feel to be 6'8"?
Never know.
Well, I hope this afternoon you can dunk a basketball if you want to. And because today, I can assure you all of us that are here and those listening look up to you today. Over the 29 years that you have been here, we've all grown and changed a little bit. You still wear the same size suit? Well, I'm going to believe that. But I have noticed that you got a little bit more part in your hair. Now, some 29 years ago, we had the privilege of introducing Tommy to this congregation and community. And that was a very special day. And I remember whenever we introduced Tommy, now, most of my true stories I make up, Tommy, but if this is wrong, you let me know. They introduced Tommy and Sandra to the congregation. They brought them up, and you stood right down here on these steps. Is that right? And we were all sitting there in anticipation of Tommy making one tremendous acceptance speech on about how glad he was to be in Lexington, and he was looking forward to it. And they asked him, said, "Would you like to say anything?" And you know what you said? No. No. You could have heard a pin drop in this church. And he says, all he said was no. But he hadn't stopped talking yet. As all of you know, Tommy really enjoys playing golf. And Sandra, you're safe. He said he was only going to play on those days that ended in a Y. So you'll be safe. But I've had the privilege of playing golf with Tommy, and I want to share just a few stories with you. Now, this first one is somewhat of a golfing joke, but you'll get the idea. Mac Mast used to tell the story of the first round of golf he had with Tommy. And they were getting ready to tee off, and it was a par four, short par four, but it had a lake down in front of it. Tommy steps up on the tee, pulls out a sleeve of nice, shiny white balls. He hits the first one, it goes in the lake. The second one goes in the lake. The third one goes in the lake. And Mac says, "Tommy, why don't you hit an old ball?" Tommy turned around and said, "I never had one." That's close to being the truth. The first time that I had the privilege of playing golf with Tommy, we got up on the tee. Now, some of y'all that have played know what I'm talking about. Now, you got to visualize this just a little bit. If balcony up there, if you will pretend that you're the green, okay? Well, Tommy lines up kind of like this, towards the piano. And he said, "Vinon, you might want," and I was kind of standing where the pulpit is. He said, "Vinon, you might want to back up." I said, "What?" He said, "You might want to back up." So I backed up about where the choir is. Tommy takes a mighty swing, hits the organ. Gene, that's true, isn't it? Gene's shaking his head, yes. Tommy's game got so bad that I told him that I would pay for a lesson if he'd take it. That's true. Now, this is true. So I paid for him to take a golf lesson. The next day, he went over to Crescent Golf Course in Salisbury and had a hole in one. He still got the ball. I think he sleeps with it. As a reminder of, I can do it. I can do it. Well, That's with the golf stories. Now, Tommy, I want to say some personal words to you and Santa. And this, I'm sure, is reflected by every person that's a member of this church, both present, past, future, the community that we live in. To me, one of your best ministries that you have served is outside the walls of this church. I have seen you with someone in their darkest moments to offer words of encouragement and comfort. You have been with my family and me from cradle to the grave. Getting serious now, ain't it, Rod? And you were there when Chad and Brooke got married. You were there when the grandsons got married. You were there when that nurse in the hospital came in when you and Ray were standing there holding Dan and said, "Excuse me, I'll pray over that baby." And she prayed, didn't she, Ray? That she did. You were there when both of my parents passed away. You were there when my brother had a stroke. You were there when I had knee replacement. That's why I walked up that over there. I was afraid I was going to fall. You have been there, and the list goes on and on and on. Not only for just me, but for a lot of other people within this congregation. And they can identify with that. You have been there in the bad times, the not so bad times, and the good times. In your final retirement speech, which basically knocked the breath out of all of us, you hurriedly read through that thing and ran out that door. You remember that? You remember the last three words you said when you left here? Y'all remember what they were? It's very simple. I love you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Tommy, I want you and Sandra to stand up. I know it's hard, but those bones will work. First of all, I want you to turn around and I want you to look at this crowd. I have known a lot of people in my life that couldn't count on five friends. When you look at this congregation, Tommy, look at here, and you look up in that balcony up there, look at the friends that you have got. And a lot of them, for some reason, could not be here today. And we're very thankful for their prayers that they have sent along to you and Sandra. But I wanted to do something just a little bit different. I wanted to turn this around on you a little bit. No. You turn back around. On the count of three, I want all of us in this church to say, "Tommy and Sandra, we love you." Okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. Tommy and Sandra, we love you. May God continue to bless you. Don't go anywhere.
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you praise for this day when we honor our own Tommy Wilson. Through the direction of your will, you sent him to us 29 years ago, and that has been a great blessing to our church, to our members, and to the programs and ministry of the church. We offer our gratitude to you for all that has meant to us over the years. As we express our gratitude to Tommy today, we also offer our gratitude to you. For it is because you care for us that we have this day for remembrance and celebration. We pray that as Tommy closes his period of full-time ministry here, that we as a congregation will open our hearts to service and giving, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll use our gifts and resources to carry out the mission you have set before us. We offer just now our tithes and offerings and our hearts open to your calling and direction. With grateful hearts, we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
join me as we pray together? Almighty God, throughout the centuries you have called your prophets to proclaim your word and your servants to do your will. On this day, we stand on holy ground, for surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And we come with hearts of gratitude for the one you have called, the one you have chosen, who for 29 years has been faithful to live out that calling in this church. Today, as we celebrate almost 3 decades of faithful ministry for Tommy and Sandra, our hearts are full of gratitude and joy. There's so many memories. We have been through so much. And there's so many lives that have been touched by their ministry. Where have these years gone? We have traveled together so long that we cannot imagine our church without Tommy and Sandra. We are embarking in uncharted waters, but so are Tommy and Sandra as they begin this new chapter in their lives. And so we turn to our God, who is our refuge and strength, and to Jesus, who is the solid rock, the foundation of our very being. As you have been faithful to call your servants to this church in the past, we know that you will again be faithful to call your servant in our future. And God, the waters that are uncharted for us are the waters that you created. And so it is with renewed confidence and courage and faith that we embark on a new adventure, a new chapter in this church, a new journey in the kingdom of God. Bless Tommy and Sandra with your mercy and grace. Grant them good health, much fulfillment, and great joy. And bless us as a family as we seek your will to be open to the dawning of a new day. Bless the ones in our fellowship who are sick today. Bless those who have been so faithful to be here in the past, but health limitations prevent their involvement on this day. We pray that you would bless the ones who are facing surgery this week. We pray for healing, for courage and strength in their recovery. And bless our fellowship that we may be the presence of Christ with open doors for all of God's children, with open arms of love and grace. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. And we pray in the strong name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The third scripture reading of the day comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. If you listen carefully to those words, God promised us apostles and prophets, and he gave us Tommy. Little did we know when Tommy first came to this church that it was going to take us 29 years to get rid of him. But here we are. And you thought you were safe on the front row. I want you both to come up here with me. Bring your Kleenex. It's going to get up close and personal. You come over here, Reverend.
Yes, sir.
Actually, I just wanted the privilege of being able to say that I stood in the pulpit with Tommy and Sandra Wilson.
You can go in.
No, you can't leave.
Okay.
And for 29 years, Sandra has put up with us and with Tommy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And, you know, I didn't think that was going to work out so good because, you know, for a minister's wife, she can't sing and she can't play the piano. But there's a reason it's worked out so good, because she's not been a minister's wife. She has been a co-minister with this fellow over here for 29 years. And we got her for free. And that leadership has really been by example and actions. I've tried in thinking about this morning to analyze Tommy's ministerial style. Mm-hmm. And it's been extremely difficult. And I've come up with a description of smorgasbord eclectic. Tommy can be very reverent. Tommy can also be very irreverent. Mm. Tommy can be humorous. Tommy can be sarcastic. But above all, he can be compassionate and understanding. And he is always... He and Sandra both had a presence, not only in this church's life, but in my life. For 29 years, I've known these folks. We've gone through good times. We've gone through bad times. They were always here for me, for Phyllis, and for you folks. This church, this community, is better off for you two coming our way. And that's about the best thing you can say, is you've made this a better place for all of us. Folks, there are no two finer people than I've ever known than are standing here with me this morning. They have influenced our church. They've influenced us personally. They've influenced our community of faith. And I simply wish you both best wishes. You leave with my gratitude. And once again, we all love you.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Just go back to the front row. And you know what's great? I get to go to the balcony now.
Thank you.
sounded more like a funeral all the time. Yeah. Thank you. That is a good funeral song, isn't it? Yeah. It was wonderful, by the way. That's right. Tommy picked all the hymns today, the music. Not everybody gets to be at their own funeral, so this is good. You've noticed a common thread in the scripture readings about being called, about service. I tried to think of a scripture passage that describes Tommy Wilson, that describes his commitment and his service and his spirit. And almost immediately, the passage from the second chapter of Philippians came to mind. And it talks about having the mind of Christ. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus, that though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth might bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is the word of God for the people of God. For 29 years, Tommy has served this church with the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. He has been the glue that has held our church together, the stabilizer that has kept us on an even keel. He has been the navigator who has guided this great church and kept us on a true course. As a young associate arriving at a new church about to embark on an ambitious multi-million dollar building campaign, George, I'm glad you're here today. George Chambliss was the chairman of that building committee. Tommy suddenly found himself as the captain of the ship when Dr. Hope Kuhn announced his retirement. And as he carefully guided our church through the building renovation, his skills as a business administrator emerged. And when I came in 1990, Tommy had definitely found his niche. And this was before the columbarium. That got you, didn't it? Yep. Tommy has run this church with competency and efficiency. But you and I both know, and as has been stated here today, Tommy is much, much more than a business administrator. He is a compassionate, dedicated, and accomplished minister. Tommy has faithfully been the presence of Christ to this congregation and this community. I wrote in my newspaper article yesterday that many people have talked about the fact that Tommy and I have always been a good team, and I think we have. Our gifts have complemented each other, but the foundation of teamwork is total trust, respect, and loyalty. There's no place for competition or inflated egos. I could not have asked for a better associate minister and Tommy Wilson. We have worked together so long and so well that you didn't know this, but there would be some times on Sunday mornings when we didn't really get all of our notes together and we didn't really know who was doing what, but it didn't matter. We kind of knew what each other was thinking. I can honestly say that throughout these 26 years, there has always been total trust and respect and complete loyalty. Tommy has never failed me or the church. He has been totally and unequivocally faithful and loyal. He has excelled in every way. In 26 years, Tommy and I have never had a cross word. He has been my colleague, my confidant, my minister, and most of all, my friend. We all know that Tommy loves movies, and he often weaves a reference to a movie in his sermons and his Bible studies. Well, a number of years ago, Tommy did something on Thanksgiving Eve that quickly became a tradition. He showed a clip from a movie. And I'll never forget that first Thanksgiving he did this. He showed us a movie clip from Saving Private Ryan that left us all in tears. If you recall, this movie, based in the Second World War, is the story of Captain John Miller, who was played by Tom Hanks, who takes his men behind enemy lines to find Private James Ryan. His three brothers had been killed in combat. He was the only son who was left, and General George Marshall had decided that one mother should not lose four sons in the war. And Captain Miller was charged with saving the only remaining son, Private Ryan. Well, when they found him, Private Ryan resisted being rescued. He insisted on fighting alongside Captain Miller and the men as they fight to prevent the Germans from capturing a strategic bridge. And at the end of the movie, while the Americans are successful in defending the bridge, Captain Miller has been mortally wounded. And he's lying on the bridge as his life drains away. Private Ryan faithfully by his side. At the very beginning of this movie, there was an old man who had gone to the American cemetery in Normandy, and he's standing in front of a grave. As Captain Miller is dying on this bridge, he looks at Private James Ryan, and through his labored last breaths, he says, "Earn this. Earn this." And then the scene went back to the old man standing in front of the grave. And for the first time, we realize the grave is that of Captain John Miller, and the old man is Private Ryan. And this is the part of the movie that had us all in tears. With his family standing behind him, the elderly man speaks to the departed Miller at his grave and says, "Every day I think about what you said to me that day on the bridge. I've tried to live my life the best that I could. I hope that it was enough. I hope that at least in your eyes, I earned what you did for me." Today, on this final Sunday of James Thomas Wilson's ministry to First Baptist Church, we can say to Tommy, "You have earned this. Every day of your ministry, you have given your best. Not just your best. You have gone above and beyond every expectation. You have served with the mind of Christ. You have been the presence of Christ to all of us. Tommy and Sandra, you have earned this. And so to my good friend and colleague in ministry, Godspeed on your journey into retirement. We want you and Sandra to know that you'll always be a part of the First Baptist family. We do love you, and we wish you many years of good health and much joy. And I know this, God isn't finished with you yet. Tommy, didn't you tell me that Hubert Philpott was the chairman of the personnel committee when you came in 1987? Kathy Hinkle is the chair of the personnel committee today, and she now comes to make presentations on behalf of the church.
We have a secret hiding place. All right. Well, people who know me know two things about me. Number one, I have to be busy. And number two, I'm the sentimental one. So that's why we have a little box of Kleenex here. So Tommy and Sandra, I can't say anything to you that other people have not already said, except Tommy and I are retiring at the same time. And I was wondering what I was going to be doing with my time, because I have to have something to keep me busy. And I think Tommy has provided that for us. The personnel committee is, we're still trying to convince Tommy to stay, but if we can't do that, we'll be hard at work. And the sentimental part, if you worked on the scrapbook for Tommy, would you stand up or raise your hand, everybody? Tobin's already in the back. We came up with the idea that we would do a scrapbook for Tommy and Sandra. And I'm not going to try to name everybody who worked on the scrapbook, because I don't want to leave anybody out. But I will say that without Tobin Shepherd and his faithful camera, we probably would not have a scrapbook. But we have a scrapbook that we want to present to Tommy and Sandra. And you may find some surprises in here. We have some current pictures. And we went back through the archives and found some things that you might have forgotten. and found some things that I remember from when I first came here all those years ago. So there's some neat things in here. There's also some letters that the youth wrote. They wrote notes, and they're in here. And some of the children did some artwork that ended up in the scrapbook rather than being presented this morning. So we're going to present that to Tommy and Sandra, and you can add some extra pages and add what you got this morning to it if you would like to. And the other thing that you have so generously helped us with, this bag is full of cards, notes, letters from your friends in the congregation. And there's also a little monetary gift in here, too, so you might not want to let this too far out of your sight. So, do you want to do yours and have them come up all at once to get all three of them? Okay.
You all come on up here.
Come on up.
You know, Tommy and Sandra have been so instrumental in so many different things in our church. And in addition to this, we were thinking about something, some way that we could have something remaining here in the church that would be in honor of Tommy and Sandra. Something they could always, we could always look at and says, that's for Tommy and Sandra. Well, Tommy and Sandra have, you know, we, one thing Tommy did this past December, he's not going to wear this.
He's not going to wear it.
He's not going to wear it.
But the Chrismon tree will.
This is for the top of our new Chrismon tree. This beautiful Chrismon is called the Crown of Light. And Joyce made this herself with love. The interesting thing about this is there are 6 points on the crown, and each one has a candle. The candle represents Christ as the light of the world. You all have been light to us in many ways. But the reason that there are 6 is because it took God 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. It took 6 days to do the work. But then came the day of rest. You have done the work. Now it's time for you to rest. And so this will be on our Chrismon tree beginning this December in honor of Tommy and Sandra Wilson.
Of the light, the commitment, and the love that these two have brought to all of us, as long as we have a Chrismon tree. And thank you for the new Chrismon tree.
I was going to say, I bought the tree. Of course, my heart's about to blow up, and I did wear my funeral suit just in case, but, and for Ray and his article and remarks and other comments, the day he came here, of course, I informed him of how it would be, so he had no choice but to do what I said and to stick around, not really, but, anytime you come into a new place with someone on staff, and those of you who have been in other churches, sometimes that doesn't always work. But God is good all the time, and we're thankful for that and for all these years together. And with the kids giving me these golf balls, I'll be able to have another sermon for you, because I'm sure those golf balls will walk on water, as they said. Can never share enough, but need to share a few things. It's kind of ironic sitting right there. Every time we gather for communion, that's where I'm usually sitting. You're looking at the cross, and this do in remembrance of me. If it wasn't about God, I wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be here. It is God's love and grace that has made all this take place. I even shared to my father when I was talking about coming here, and he learned about you in his days. He always said, "This is the place. Thanks be to God." Many of you were a part of a youth group 100 years ago, and Al Martin, we did the musical Godspell. It talked about all good gifts are sent from above. It also said, thank the Lord day by day. It said, to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly. We've done that together, and I thank you, because I could not do any of this if it were not by the grace of God and your love and your support. The preacher in me needs to share a few words. How many times you think we've sung the hymn, Be Thou My Vision? It's a prayer text, a tune, praise and worship. It's a singular voice, deeply rooted in medieval Celtic Christianity. It's an Irish song that has been around since the 6th century, written in Gaelic, which if you've been to Ireland is quite hard to read. An Irish poet, a young boy. He became blind from studying too much when things like glasses or contacts or laser surgery wasn't around. He was even given the name Little Blind Boy. This is what he wrote the song. Because he was unable to see his own, he asked God to be his vision. As your minister, as a church, we're somewhat in that same place. Unable to see what is ahead of us. Though that is difficult since we are unsure of what lies ahead. But God has a vision and God will lead because God is always faithful. All over Ireland are places of natural human construction and beauty of Celtic Christianity, holy trees, holy walls, holy mountains, places where that veil has been slightly altered or seen and you can see the next. First Baptist has been that place for me and for you. A thin place where together we witness the amazing grace and love of God. And that will continue for you and for me as we experience the vision that God has for us in days ahead. And one of my favorite scripture passages, the Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strength to the powerless. But even youth walk and faint and be weary. Young fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I stated in my resignation that I strongly believe that my decision is not only in my best interest, but in the best interest of this great congregation as we look to the future and God's leading in our lives. As the hymn tells us, God has a vision for us. As the scripture says, wait upon God. He will give us strength for the living of these days. Not our strength, but his strength. So we do not wait passively, but eagerly. And finally, I hope you haven't counted or kept records of how many times I probably quoted John Claypool. But John Claypool's ministry and life has been inspiration to me throughout my early ministry. Dewey Hobbs was the first to introduce me to him. David Smith and Hope Kuhn and others. I'm sure he's been a ministry to you. We were fortunate, if you recall, years ago to have him be part of the Parker Lectures here at First Baptist. So once again, I quote, he delivered the Bachelor Arts sermon at his alma mater, Mars Hill, in May of 2003. The title of that address was, Goodbye and hello. He writes, and I quote, "A generation ago, an Australian by the name of Rudolf Dykers was recognized as the foremost authority on early childhood development. He observed that no matter what the culture or nationality, among the first words that little children try to say with variations, goodbye and hello." He went on to say that it was a good thing for us human beings to get an early start on those two words, because no challenge in life is more profound or perennial than bidding farewell to the already experienced and greeting with confidence the not yet experienced. And Claypool went on to share, as he did in many of his writings and lectures, that every exit is also an entrance. For the past 29 years, we've said a lot of goodbyes and hellos. Thank you for allowing Sandra and I this opportunity to be in ministry and mission with this great church. For us, it has and always will be an incredible journey, and one in which we have been blessed to share with you. It is difficult to express the joy and the thanksgiving that we have to you, the church, that we will always love and appreciate, First Baptist Lexington. Thank you. Thank you for the journey and for all you mean to us. We do love you and thank you. Thanks be to God. Can I share a prayer with you? God, offend places. We are grateful that you've given us a journey here at First Baptist Lexington. We give you thanks for choosing to come close to us. We see you as creator of all that surrounds us and praise you for the beauty of this time and space together as the body of Christ here in Lexington. We find our joy in you. We are grateful that you welcome us into your love. And God, I thank you for this church and all that we've been a part of. Bless them on their new journey and continue to enable them to walk and not faint and to soar like eagles as they continue to be the church in this community. Grant us thy vision, O Lord our God. Amen.
And all of God's people said, Amen. Paul, thank you. Thank you for our powerful anthem. And it's good to see some familiar faces in the choir. And Harvey, good to see some new faces in the choir. Thank you all. Some of these voices will be singing again at 3 o'clock this afternoon at First United Methodist. Well, I was worried what we were going to do until 12:30. This is what I'd like to ask you to do. For those of you that have mobility issues, as soon as the benediction is over, we want you to go ahead and to make your way to the fellowship hall. The rest of you, if we could just sort of mill around for a few minutes, take your time. You don't need to be rushing for the exits today. And after a few minutes, for those of you who are able, I think the best thing to do would be to go out the front doors and just go down between the Y and the church, just meander down to the fellowship hall. You know what meander means? So just take your time, because there is absolutely no rush. But please allow those who need a little extra assistance to go first. And for those of you that need to use the elevator, then you feel free to do that. But for all of us who are able, let's go outside and go around and go in the fellowship hall that way. You will be seated and your meal will be served. In fact, it's probably already going to be on the table. Before we have our choral benediction, and I saw Sandra. You see who wrote the benediction, Sandra? Gene Davis. Before we have our benediction, Tommy is going to come and have a spoken benediction. Paul, I know it's not in the bulletin, but you know Tommy. He wanted to do this. And another thing I want to tell you, we're not saying goodbye to Tommy and Sandra. They're still going to be here. In fact, you're going to look at that August calendar?
I'm looking.
Okay. Tommy's coming back and preaching in August, so this is not the end. It's only the beginning. So,
thank you again for everything, and we'll continue ministry and love together, and thanks be to God for that. These words come from Stephen Shoemaker. May the Lord bless you.